I'll never forget. I was in my mid-teens. It was a Saturday. I was at a high school in Waupaca, Wisconsin, at a Christian competition, kind of like forensics. And I was entered into the short sermon category. Yes, on this day, I would be competing against students all over the state in giving a 15-minute message. And I would be judged on my message by three judges. At the time, it felt a little weird to be judged by three people on my sermon, but I've gotten a little used to it by now. But anyway, I got up there and I gave my 15-minute message. I had worked on it for months, and I gave it all the passion I could muster, and I preached my heart out. It's like, I think I did really well. And if on the line was an opportunity to advance to the national competition in Florida that year and compete against students all over the country, if I was good enough. Well, I finished my 15-minute message, and of course, I didn't get the results right away. No, that would be too easy. No, I had to wait for hours for the results to come in, for me to pick up my packet. And so I waited and waited, and finally, I heard that my packet was in, and so I went over and I grabbed the brownish, orangish packet. And my friends and my family, of course, were gathered around, and I opened it up. Didn't make it. To make matters worse, I had a friend who was a year younger than me, and she wasn't planning on becoming a pastor, but just on a whim, she also entered the 15-minute short sermon category. And seconds after I opened my envelope, I heard a shriek of joy from her. Yes, she had indeed advanced to nationals. I tried to be happy for her, but it was a long drive home. And that was one of the many times in my life where I came face to face with a dragon that I called the dragon of fear of failure and insecurity. And I like to tell you that 20 years later that I have killed this dragon, that this dragon is no longer a problem, at least when it comes to public speaking. But that would not be true. In fact, this dragon of fear, failure, and insecurity shows up all over my life, not just in speaking. I think it's why Pastor Mike asked me to speak to you on this topic today. And I know that I'm not alone. I know that many of you in the room can relate because you have your own dragon of fear, of failure, insecurity. It may not show up for you in your job. It may show up in relationships or hobbies or when you go on social media. But we all have this dragon, fear, failure, and insecurity. And I don't know that we'll ever kill this dragon, but I do think that there is a way to tame it. To tame it so that it doesn't stop us from living our life well. Because if we're not careful, our fear of failing, our insecurities can cause us to miss out on the opportunities that God has given us to bring his kingdom down to earth and live our lives in freedom. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. How do we tame the dragon of fear, failure, and insecurity? And I want to turn to Luke 9, if you have your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen. In Luke 9, verses 1 through 6, there's this little story nestled in the Gospel of Luke. And I think there's some practical application that we can all apply to our lives in our hopes of taming the dragon of fear, failure, and insecurity. So Luke 9, starting in verse 1. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. In these six little verses, there are three things that I'd like to share with you, three ideas that I found in this story that I think, regardless of whether you would say that your dragon of fear and insecurity is tame right now or whether you would say that it's a problem, three ideas that I think will help us all either keep our dragon tame or help us tame the dragon of fear, failure, and insecurity. So, three things. The first thing, number one, you are equipped. You are equipped. Notice Jesus calls his disciples together. 12 young men, they'd probably be teenagers. They were probably most of them were in their mid-teens. He calls them together. And remember, these are fishermen. These are tax collectors. And he says to them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave me. I want you to go from town to town. And I want you to heal and cast out demons. And I want you to preach about not the kingdom of Rome. I want you to preach about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to stay here. Just go do it. How do you think they felt about that? Do you think they were like, oh yeah, no problem. Piece of cake. We got this. No. I bet they were like, whoa, wait a minute. Time out. It's one thing, Jesus, to just follow you around and watch you do miracles and keep the little children away from you. Like, we can do that. But you want us to leave you and go from town to town and tell these people about a new kingdom, not the kingdom of Rome, but the kingdom of God? You think they felt qualified for that? I doubt it. I bet their insecurities, the stories from childhood of when they weren't good enough started to play in their minds. But notice something. Jesus didn't send them out without first equipping them. Jesus says to them, I'm sending you out into the world, but I'm also giving you power and authority. God's power and authority will be with you. See, as they went out on their mission, it wasn't about their qualifications. It was about the God they served. And so as they left on their mission, they didn't have to worry about if they were the most qualified. In fact, they weren't the most qualified. They were religious leaders that were supposed to be bringing the kingdom of God down to earth. There were other people that on paper were far more qualified, but it wasn't about their qualifications. It was about the God they served. See, as we pursue the things that are on our heart, the dreams that we have, the skills that God has given us, there are moments in time where we feel insecurities rush in. We feel not good enough. We feel not qualified. We feel ill-equipped. We feel like we don't have what it takes. But the good news is, it's not about us. It's not about how qualified we are. It's about how good God is. And God doesn't just leave us out there. No, he equips us and his spirit is working in us. I love what Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Paul says, all glory to God who is what? Able through his mighty power at work where? Within us. God is able to do a mighty work through us. And it's not about how qualified we are. You may feel unqualified, but God is able. You might feel afraid, but God is able. You might feel like there's someone that can do it better, but God is able to work through you. You are equipped. Not because of who you are, but because of who you know that is working through your life. God has equipped you to be the spouse, the parent, the business leader, the grandparent, the teacher that you need to be. Some of you have gotten into the past year and it's been a season and you feel insecure. It's like, I don't know how to do this well. I don't know how to be a parent in this season of life. I don't know how to be a business leader in this season of life. I don't know how to teach well in this season of life. And the good news is it's okay because you're not out there by yourself. Your heavenly Father is with you and he is able to work through you even if you don't feel qualified. Some of you here today have allowed your insecurities and your fear of failure. You've allowed your dragon to hold you back from pursuing something that deep down you know you should be pursuing. Something that God has placed on your heart, something you can't get off your mind. And you've convinced yourself there's somebody out there that's more qualified, somebody else will do it. And maybe there's an opportunity today to step forward into it, not because of who you are, but because of the God that you serve, who is able to work through your life. Jesus sends his disciples out, and they're not the most qualified, but they are willing, and he equips them. So that's my first thought for you. Second thought from this story. Just start walking. Jesus says, take nothing for your journey. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. And all the planners in the room had a heart attack. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus walks up to me and says, hey guys, I got this idea. I'm going to send you off on a mission. And I don't know which of the disciples were planners, but I'm sure there was a couple of them in the 12. And they were like, hold up. If you want us to do this, you got to give us at least a 3-month warning. Like, I mean, we got to map out our journey. We got to send some surveys ahead to see which towns are favorable to our arrival. We got to Yelp where we're going to stay. Like, some of us need to get some new clothes so we look good when we roll into town. Some of us need new sandals. And we all need walking sticks, and those things don't grow on trees. Some of you getting that a little late. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep you awake. And Jesus says, no. Jesus says, just start walking. Jesus says, just start walking. If you wait for the perfect time when you have the perfect plan, you will never go. Now, I want to be careful here because there is wisdom in waiting and planning and gathering data, being strategic. But sometimes when it comes to our dreams, it stopped being about wisdom a long time ago, and really it's just about our fear. It's about our insecurities and our fear. It's not wisdom. And we just have an invitation from God to start walking. Take that step towards what you feel God is asking you to do. There will always be a better time, but there will never be a perfect time. And if our dragon of fear, failure, and insecurity, I'm convinced if he can't convince us to completely give up on our dreams, he will settle to just make us wait. For us to just hold off. And Jesus doesn't give him that option. He says, no, you're going to just start walking now. For many years, my wife has had a deep desire to help other women through some of the things that she's gone through. And she also has a fascination with personalities, how we're wired and how that affects how we view life, how we interact with other people. And a number of years ago, she stumbled upon something called the Enneagram, which is a personality typology. And she's done a ton of work. She listens to every podcast, reads every book on it. And she also went through a certification program. And so all that to say, this past month, she launched her own life coaching Enneagram business. And I'm so proud of her. But if you were to ask her about her journey to get to last month, she would tell you there were so many moments when she just wanted to stop. Because of insecurities and fear, there were so many thoughts in her mind, who am I to do this? What if nobody cares what I know? Like, there were so many thoughts going on in her mind, and she just had to get to a point where she just took the next step. She just took the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. She just had to believe that if God had given her this dream, that he was going to equip her, and her job was just to take that next step. To move past the insecurity, move past the fear. I'm convinced the bigger the dream, the more you don't ever really feel ready to move forward. Maybe you have a dream. Maybe you have a desire to bring God's kingdom down to earth in some way, to help others, to be a part of God's goodness in the world. Maybe it's to start a podcast or a blog, or to be a part of a nonprofit, or to mentor kids, or to mentor couples, or to mentor parents, or to give back in some way, to create, to build, to help, to use your talents and your gifts. And you've allowed insecurity and fear just to keep you from taking that next step. And you've convinced yourself that someday, maybe, you'll start walking. And maybe, just maybe, there's an opportunity today to start walking. What would it look like for you to start walking towards something that God has placed in your heart this week, trusting him that he is going before you and his power is at work through you? Lastly, third thought for you from this story: you will fail, and it's okay. Jesus tells his disciples, he's equipping them, and he says, look, don't worry about it. My power is with you. My authority is with you to preach the kingdom of God, and you're going to heal. You're going to do amazing things, and you're ready. You're just going to start walking. Just go. And then what does he say? Do you remember what he says next? Does he say, don't worry, everyone is going to love you. Everyone's going to accept your message. You're going to accumulate more and more followers, and screaming fans are going to line up everywhere you go. You better bring some Sharpies to do autographs. Practice your duck face for the selfie with fans. No. No, he doesn't say that. He says, if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Not the best pep talk that I've ever heard. Before they even begin, Jesus lets them know that they're going to walk for miles. They're going to get to a town. They're going to attempt to heal, and they're going to attempt to preach the kingdom of God. And it won't matter how charismatic they are, how well they practiced, they're going to be rejected. The people are going to say, get out. And it's okay. What was Jesus doing by telling them that? He was setting them up to realize that some people were not going to accept them, and that is just a part of life. That's just part of doing anything worthwhile. Failure, or at least fear of failure, insecurity, rejection, they just come with doing work that matters. It's a package deal. In fact, in Mark 6, Jesus comes to his hometown. He's been on this circuit preaching and teaching, and everyone loves him. And he comes to Mark 6, or most of the people love him. He comes to Mark 6. Do you remember what happens when he comes to his hometown? Mark 6, Mark writes these words: Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then the story turns. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Jesus is rejected by the people that know him the best. His hometown rejects him. God in the flesh rejected. Now, if Jesus is rejected by the people in his hometown, why are we surprised when we're rejected? Or maybe a better question, why do we do everything we can to avoid rejection? Maybe rejection isn't the enemy. Maybe fear of rejection causing us to live lives where we don't live life to the full, maybe that is the enemy. Nobody likes to be rejected. I've never met anyone that's like, yep, I just love being rejected. I really try to make a habit of it. But maybe we need to realize that rejection is an essential part of living a life of purpose. Maybe the path to living life well runs right through rejection and failure and insecurity. A small band was rejected by 4 record labels and told their sound was on the way out. So they gave up. Just kidding. They didn't give up. They persevered. They got signed by that 5th record label. That band? The Beatles. A movie producer pitched his crazy movie idea to 2 studios. Both studios said, no way, no thanks. He gave up. Just kidding. He didn't give up. He persevered. He went to a 3rd movie studio. That studio was like, we don't really like the movie, but we believe in you. We'll let you make it. That movie? Star Wars. A newspaper cartoonist was fired from a newspaper because he lacked creative ideas. So he just gave up. Just kidding. He didn't give up. He persevered. That cartoonist? Walt Disney. Think about if that band, that movie director, and that man had given up, how different the world would be. And I could go on and on. We could literally just fill up this entire time with example after example. You know this. Failure is not the end. Failure is a stepping stone to next. Failure is a part of every person's life who attempts something. Failure isn't the enemy. Rejection isn't the enemy. What would it look like to embrace our insecurities and fear of failure and even rejection? A few years ago, I got to hear a man by the name of Zhi Zhang speak at a conference. And he has a TED Talk, if you want to look him up later. But Zhi Zhang realized around the age of 30 that he had a problem. He was so afraid to be told no by people or to be rejected by people. He was so afraid of it. It was affecting his job. It was affecting his relationships. And so he decided to do something drastic. He decided to put himself through 100 days of what he called rejection therapy. So for 100 straight days, he decided to do something crazy that would basically force someone to tell him no or reject him. So for 100 straight days, he did things like he went to 5 guys and he ordered a burger and he ate it, and then he went back up to the counter and he asked for a free burger refill. He went up to a stranger's door, knocked on the door, and when they answered, he asked if he could play soccer in their backyard. He went into PetSmart and he asked if he could trim his hair with their clippers. He went up to a stranger and asked if he could borrow $100. And on it goes. And after 100 days, he said he learned something. He learned that rejection was not as scary as he thought it was. In fact, he said he learned that life was actually better when he was willing to take some risks. And even more than that, he realized that people will surprise you with their goodness. Some people said yes. When he went up and knocked on a stranger's door and asked if he could play soccer in their backyard, they said, sure. And he went and played soccer in their backyard. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus says to his disciples, if you come to a town and they reject you, give up, come back, I'll train you again. Clearly you weren't listening. Stop arguing over being who's greatest. No, that's not what he says, is it? Jesus says, if you go to a town and they reject you, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, and go to the next one. Jesus says, shake the dust from your feet, which was an expression in his day signifying that you were moving away from those people. But it was also signifying a new beginning. Shaking the dust from your feet was signifying that you were leaving that place and leaving those people and going somewhere else. Jesus says, when they reject your message, and they will, don't give up. Just go to the next town. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all need to go out and start finding ways to be rejected by people. But what would it look like to realize that rejection, that failure, maybe they're not as scary as we make them out to be in our minds? I heard a speaker who speaks in front of huge groups talk about how nervous he would get every time that he talked. And he said it used to really bother him. Like he would just get so irritated. He'd be like, why am I so nervous? And he would get so nervous that he would feel butterflies in his stomach before every talk. And he would get so irritated when he felt the butterflies come on before he'd give a talk. And then he said one day he realized something that changed everything. One day he realized that the reason that he felt butterflies is because he was doing something that mattered to him. And so he said, instead of getting irritated when the butterflies showed up, he made friends with them. He said, oh, you're here because I'm doing something that really matters to me. And it's a good thing. So what would it look like? What would it look like to make friends with our dragons? Our dragon of insecurity and fear of failure. What would it look like to tame our dragon by realizing that God is equipping us and taking those steps, taming him so he doesn't control us, but then realizing that our anxiety, that our fears, our insecurities, that they often show up simply to remind us that we're doing something that matters. When I think back over my life, every important moment of my life, this guy has been there. The first message I ever gave, he was there. The message today, he was there. And all the messages in between, he was there. When I proposed to my wife, he was there. The birth of my kids, he was there. As I try to parent my kids, he's there. Every really important moment of my life, he has been there. The problem isn't that he was there. The problem is when I allow him to control the situation. When he's tame, he's just a reminder to me that I'm doing something important that matters. What if when we feel our insecurities and our fear of failure bubbling up inside us, we just noticed it and said, okay, you don't get to control me, but you can be my friend because you're just here because I'm doing something that matters to me. By the way, I've noticed for me there's one thing that I do that keeps this dragon tame. There's one thing I do that helps keep this dragon under control, and that is refuse to compare. If you want to create a horrible, fire-breathing dragon, just keep comparing yourself to others. When we go on social media and we compare ourselves to others, when we look at other people in our field or doing what we want to do and we compare ourselves to them, that is when our insecurities and our fear of failure can become overwhelming. But we don't have to compare because we're not them. And when we choose to refuse to compare, we can learn from others in our field, we can learn from others that have gone ahead of us, but when we refuse to compare, then our insecurities and our fear of failure ceases being a roar and it becomes a little whisper in the background, reminding us that we're doing something that matters to us. So, today there is an invitation for all of us to realize that is not about our qualifications. It's about the God who is working and is able to do great things through us. And sometimes it's on us to take that first step to just start walking. And to realize that we may fail, we may be rejected, and if we are, it's okay. It's part of a well-lived life. The kingdom of God is all around us, waiting and inviting us to be a part of it. But sometimes we have to tame our dragon first. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your love. I thank you that through you we can live lives of meaning and purpose. And Father, when our insecurities, when our fears start to get the better of us, I thank you that it's not about how qualified we are, but it's about your Spirit at work in us. May we be reminded of that in the times where we feel afraid to boldly step into the things that you've placed on our heart, pursue the things that you've called us to do. May we step into the life you have available to us, living lives of purpose and meaning as we boldly serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we wrap up our Taming Dragons series, and we really hope this has been helpful as we've looked at different dragons. We started off by looking at the dragon, just naming our dragon, and then we looked at the dragon of addiction. Last week we looked at the dragon of depression and anxiety, and today you know the dragon that we looked at. And so we want to encourage you, if you would like more resources on these topics, we do have some resources on our website, northwoodchurch.org, so you can go there. And even though this series is ending, we want to encourage you, if you need more help with any of the dragons that we've talked about in this series, we want to encourage you to reach out to any of the pastors, directors here at Northbrook. We would love to walk alongside you. We know one message may not be enough to help you. You may need some more resources, and we want to be available to help you as you continue to tame your dragons.